What's going on, everyone? Welcome to my review of Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. If you were unaware, Aaron Hernandez was a tight end for the New England Patriots who murdered one man, Odin Lloyd, I believe back in 2013. And then I believe he killed two other guys like a year or two before that and then played a full NFL season. And yeah, this isn't something I normally do. If you are new to this, I normally post a podcast every Monday, me talking about sports. Lately, it's been NFL focused just because of the playoffs, but I figured I saw this and I was like, let me do a give a whole crack at it and talk about this because this was a lot to handle. So let's just get right into it. All right, so wow. This documentary was one all over the place. There was a lot of information to kind of digest in a kind of short amount of time. Because I feel like there was times where it would talk about certain things and, you know, and it's like, all right, cool, we'll talk about high school and then we'll go into the NFL and then his girlfriend and then this and that and this and that. And next episode, it's like, all right, I didn't have time to really just kind of catch all this. So, and then new episodes come out and you're like, what? All right, I'm trying to, like, piece this all together and all that, but... Oh, also, before I continue, spoiler alert, I'm at the 133 mark, and spoilers will be in this as well, so, you know, pause this, watch it, come back, and we can talk about this, we can share, you can hear me talk about this. So this is the warning, spoilers, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so... this was a lot. Now here's my thing. Do I think him having CTE, I'm assuming him hiding his sexuality and the passing of like his father had a lot to do with this? Yes. I'm sure those all played parts somewhat because from the documentary, it seemed like he had an interesting relationship with his father. Didn't seem like he was the greatest guy on the planet, but he still seemed to look up to him in a way. Him apparently being sexually abused by a babysitter, which kind of, from how the documentary described it, influenced his sexuality, I guess, in a way. I don't know how else to describe that. Or had him question his sexuality, and then apparently he explored it a bit through high school with his high school starting quarterback. And then having to pretty much kind of hide it ever since, you know, trying to follow that model football player where you're masculine, tough, and you know, all that stuff, and being gay is bad, and blah, 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 but it's all garbage, but, and then also, just dealing with other issues like CTE, which he had apparently really fucking bad at such a young age that probably, again, like I said, played a part in, you know, him killing these men, but at the end of the day, this guy still made the decision to pull the trigger, you know, whether it's because one reporter in the documentary said that, well, that they showed that pretty much she outed him and Odin Lloyd caught him having sex with a guy and that's why he killed him. But then other reporters say from their research that that's not true at all, that they couldn't find any proof of that and that he may have killed himself for the abatement in Massachusetts, which is a law saying that if the person who's up for, you know, this case is kills himself, that the case pretty much gets thrown out. So, I don't know. I think a lot of things were into it. It was interesting to see the fact that he had lost the first case and kind of just seemed emotionless. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. I killed this guy. Okay, I'm going to jail forever. Great. But in the second trial, they called him not guilty for killing these two men in Florida. And he's just, he's crying. Which I thought was interesting. You know, he seemed kind of relieved. Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he did. I don't know. And maybe we'll never know. I mean, the only person that really knows is Alexander Bradley, the dealer that he was friends with during all this. But again, we'll never know because Aaron Hernandez is no longer with us, which honestly, I'm kind of okay with. He wasn't the best guy, apparently. And I just don't, I mean, the only people I really feel bad for is his daughter. You know, she's no longer going to have a father in her life unless, you know, the mother decides to date again or remarry or whatever. But it's going to be tough to grow up to know that, you know, your father killed people and wasn't the best guy and kind of had some issues that weren't being addressed and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, hey, shit happens. But hopefully she could turn around and, you know, create her own legacy that's positive and not one that follows her father's, hopefully. But only time will tell. Interesting kind of quick hits on this as well while I'm talking about it. The mom of Aaron Hernandez, kind of a piece of shit. The fact that she wanted Aaron to give her $1 million so she can just settle for the rest of her life is fucked up. The fact that you're just like, hey, I deserve $1 million. I'm your mom. It's like, oh, fuck you. You didn't do shit for me, so go fuck yourself. And the one fact that she, not too long, I don't know how long it was after the death of Aaron's father, that she started hooking up with Aaron's cousin's husband, which is really fucking weird. And then she brought him to, like, his court hearings, which is, again, super fucking weird and not okay. But, yeah, the relationship between him and his mom just seemed utterly terrible. And it seemed like the only person in his life that kind of understood and related to him was his cousin, Tanya, who wasn't the best person either. So it's pretty much seemed like once his father died, like all the other dominoes just started falling, and then that's when everything kind of just collapsed from there. But I don't know. Cause also I'm trying to think, you know, cause he was supposed to go to University of Connecticut. And I live in Connecticut myself, so I'm familiar with the, you know, the college and campus and all that. So cause I've had friends that have gone to the Storrs campus, which is the main campus, which is where Aaron would have been if he had gone to UConn. Honestly, I don't think it would have been much different up here than it would have been down there. I mean, he probably wouldn't have gotten away with what he did down there with, like, punching the with the bill at the nightclub, and he didn't want to pay, so he, like, fucking punched the manager or some shit, and the guy never pressed charges. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened up here, because UConn football, I'm sorry to his brother DJ, but they fucking suck. They've been bad for a very long time. And I don't think Aaron would have done much to change that. Not that he wasn't a good football player, but they're just bad. This isn't a football state. This is a basketball state, more or less. So we do better with that. But yeah, I think if that would have happened in Storrs or the surrounding kind of like towns where like partying is very, you know, known, that shit wouldn't have flown, because they're calling the fucking cops and getting his ass arrested. So maybe that would have changed that, but I don't know. I mean, the environment that he was in definitely played a part, especially him getting drafted to New England and him being a few hours away from, you know, all the people that he was surrounded with, you know, after his father passed and him doing all the things he did. So it's like, But even if, you know, even the University of Florida, it's a party school. You know, back then when he played, you know, they were like one of the best teams in the country, and at one point the best team, because they won a national championship, and I believe in 2007, with Tim Tebow leading the charge and Urban Meyer, and you know, stuff that they said that like he got away with isn't surprising, because if my understanding is correct, some of that also happened when Urban Meyer went to Ohio State, but that's neither here nor there, but. Yeah, it's just a really fucked up whole situation. His fiance, very ride or die. Literally, she's about this life, and I don't really get it. They didn't show enough for me to understand why she was so, like, down for this guy. I mean, yes, he was the father of her child, so I'm sure that plays a part, but, like, what else did he really do for you that like was positive? Because I don't know. I just don't understand it. A big part of it too was his sexuality. You know, him hiding the fact that I would assume he was gay. He may have been bisexual. I don't know. He may have not identified with that. Again, I don't know. But the fact that, you know, he grew up in a household where, you know, men were supposed to act a certain way, because that's, you know, that's how his father felt. And that's how some of the community felt, and still how a lot of people feel nowadays. But so pretty much how he acted a certain way, and how he had to hide the relationship he had with his quarterback at the time, and doing that for however many years. I believe it was from like 7th to like 11th or 12th grade, I think the guy said. And I'm sure, I don't think he had much of a chance to explore it after that, you know, because he's too busy playing football and trying to get to the NFL and then getting in the NFL and doing all that. But I'm sure so that may have played a part, but and also the CTE, I'm sure, also played a part in it as well. You know, that's also tough, getting, you know, hit in the head fucking constantly from a young age. And I'm assuming on a consistent basis, because back then, you know, helmet-to-helmet hits were very common and not against the rules yet, at least in the NFL. So, like I said, that probably played a part in it as well. And it's... Oof. I mean, again, it's... He still, at the end of the day, had to pull the trigger. Whether or not any of these other previous, like, internal issues, you know, were being, you know, ignored, he still had to do it no matter what. And honestly, he seemed kind of okay going to jail. Like, he said he liked, you know, the structure. And, you know, since when his father passed, he kind of lost that, which, you know, I understand that. But I just... Excuse me, I'm a little tired because I'm recording this really late. But yeah, I don't know. This whole documentary is just a fucked up situation. I think my biggest problem just with the documentary, not with like the whole Aaron Hernandez story, is just how fucking confusing it was to keep up with all this, because they wouldn't give you time to like really like digest the information that they were presenting you. It was more like, hey, his dad sucked. His dad was an alcoholic. By the way, his girlfriend's been with him since he was like 15. And by the way, he fucking punched a manager in Florida. And by the way, he fucking got a contract extension years later. Oh, and by the way, he used to fuck his quarterback. And it's like, all right, can we get a structure? Like, episode one should have just been like childhood, high school, his sexuality thing, and then him meeting his girlfriend and then doing all that, and then led to not going to UConn, going to Florida, punching the manager, getting tattoos, fucking doing all types of shit, being successful in college, and yada, 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 and then more other stuff involving that, and then fucking going straight into the shootings in Florida, the fucking NFL getting drafted, and, you know, playing that season where he killed those two guys and got the contract extension, and then the rest of that, and so on and so forth, and yada, yada, yada. You know, get to that. But it's like, it was like each episode had like high school, college, NFL previous, like post. And it's like, all right, can we figure this out, please? Because this is getting really annoying. But overall, though, I thought the documentary was interesting. You know, there was a lot of information that I was not aware of, because I think I was, I believe, a senior in high school for a lot of this. And then, like, I graduated, so I wasn't really paying attention to whatever the fuck the Patriots were doing. And especially a player who would play for them and him being a murderer and all that. I just never paid attention to it at all. But now that all this came out, kind of wish I did pay attention a little more, but it's neither here nor there. But I think if I had to like rate the documentary, I'd say like a 7.2, because there were some shocking things. It was interesting, but again, I just wish there was a better story to figure out what like the director wanted to kind of say about all this. Because it wasn't like, oh, this is the story of Aaron Hernandez, or this is like, you know, do you think he was a bad guy or not? It's more like, here's all the information, have fun with it kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. But I mean, I would still recommend it to anybody who is interested in this kind of thing, or you like this kind of like murder type stuff and, you know, seeing the history behind killers and all that kind of shit. But, yeah, so again, I recommend it. Watch it. It's on Netflix. It's, you know, if you have Netflix, it's free. Borrow a password, borrow an account, do what you got to do. Yeah, so this is pretty much where I'm going to end it. If there's anything I missed, please let me know. My Instagram and Twitters are Some Internet Show. Except on Twitter, there's no O in show, it's just SHW. And, you know, if you want to see more of these, please feel free to let me know. I want to do more of these. I want to do more reviews on sports movies and documentaries and maybe some other kind of sports controversies or guys who are in sports who are apparently pieces of human garbage that did terrible fucking things and people who didn't deserve it. But that's that. That's that with that. Also, where you can find my podcast, the full episodes will be in the description as well. You can follow them, share it, rate it, I would appreciate if you did that part. At least I would appreciate if you rated it. And I will see you all Monday for the full podcast where we're talking about UFC. I believe it's 246 with Conor McGregor and Donald Cerrone. And with the whole thing, the divisional, not the divisional rounds, the AFC and NFC championship rounds for football. And maybe some basketball stuff here and there. Oh, and I'll definitely talk about this whole Astros fucking signal stealing thing. And, you know, the rumors have been coming out about that. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, that's kind of all I got for today. Again, thank you for taking the time to listen to this. If you did, please feel free to let me know if you want to see these again. And I will see you all on Monday.